I'm going to pull up Corey's text messages, or tweets rather, from the last 48 hours. Corey's an interesting guy. He's got a family of four kids, his wife. They do a lot of good work. I remember looking at the picture of them on Father's Day, all out fishing. And I was thinking about the life that he's going through right now, because he's got this rich, big family. They all enjoy each other's company. They live in more danger than you are comfortable with, but that's the life they've chosen to lead. I had a nice Father's Day weekend. Meantime, his mother is sick and dying of cancer. And in the meantime, people in his community all around him are passing away because the bullets are flying this summer. At least that's how I was. I was really feeling you, Corey, last night when I was reading you on Twitter.
Yeah, John, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. As you said, yeah, I'm dealing with my mom and also dealing with a lot of death all in our city and in our neighborhood. So, you know, it's a tough time, but I really do feel like sometimes God gives certain people certain gifts to deal with certain things, and I guess I've just been blessed to have that gift to deal with the stuff that I'm dealing with.
You tweeted, at least seven children aged 10 or under have been shot in the last 2 weeks. Wow, I just got word another baby, 3 years old, shot in Chicago. We must take our community back from these killers. I am so mad and disgusted. Heading home in the morning to initiate our plan to keep the shootings and murders from happening in Woodlawn over the 4th of July weekend. Hashtag no murders. Hashtag no violence. Hashtag Southside Chicago Project Hood. That's your organization, Project Hood. What are you going to do to try and stem the violence this weekend, Corey?
Well, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to be meeting with some of the leaders of some of the gangs in our neighborhood just to lay down the law of what we believe needs to be done. We can't wait on the police officers to do all the work. We, as especially black men in our community, have to finally stand up and say, hey, listen, this is what we expect. This is what has to happen. And then we have to encourage people in our neighborhood that know these shooters to turn them in. We should not have to harbor people who are killing babies and people who are shooting people in our community. You know, the no snitch policy has been a long-standing policy in our neighborhood. But when you have babies being shot and killed, that's something that we have to definitely deal with.
You know, we had that guy on from Early Walker yesterday from Don't Shoot, I'm Telling, which is the damnedest thing I've ever heard of in my life. I mean, smart and necessary, but what a crazy world that you have to have an organization that is asking people, if you know somebody's name that killed somebody or shot somebody, please tell the police. How is that not apparent? How is that not just happening automatically, you know?
Well, you know, you have such a division between the police department and our community, and so that is causing a lot of the rift that a lot of people just don't want to deal with the police in our community, and that's very unfortunate. The second thing is that people are afraid of retaliation. If these young guys are willing to retaliate on one another, and we've seen even last year where a young African-American sister, I think it was 16 or 17 years old, in Inglewood was shot and killed because she witnessed a shooting. And so, you know, it's not beneath them to shoot and kill and take the life of a witness. So we have to be, we have to understand the community and understand the environment in which people are in to understand why this no snitch thing has been so prevalent in our community.
So you're going to get together with some gang leaders, which is weird to me. If you get together with the gang leaders, grab them and throw them in jail.
Well, you have to get together with gang leaders. All gang leaders are not committing these crimes. Let me say that, because a lot of people think that these guys are just out of all committing crimes, but a lot of times in our community, these individuals are in gangs automatically because of where they grow up. So, for instance, if you grow up on a certain block, whether you're in that gang or not, you're identified as part of that gang, and you're identified as part of that community. So we have to go and talk to the guys who have the influence in those communities, in those areas, and say, hey, we need you to pull all these guys in and talk to them, especially those that you know are known to carry weapons and known to be shooters. They have more of an influence than we do. So we got to influence them to use their influence in a positive way.
Do you know some families that have been directly impacted by the shootings lately, Corey?
Oh, definitely. We just recently had two funerals of two young ladies that were shot and killed in a car. So we had those funerals at our church, and we dealt with that situation. And then here recently, we just had another funeral at our church and another repast at our center of a young person that was shot and killed who was coming home to visit in Parkway Garden. His mother, and he was living in Minnesota, got his life changed. He was doing great, working a job, came home to visit his mom, and ended up getting shot. So, you know, we're definitely dealing with a lot of different situations where people are experiencing violence.
And then those funerals can be hot spots too, right? Because then the one side knows that's where the other side's going to gather.
Absolutely. So we do everything we can to make sure that we don't have a shooting or retaliation. We make sure that we notify. For us, it's the 3rd District that does a great job. Our commander and the sergeants in the 3rd District, they make sure that when we have these funerals that they have ample amount of police out on site or outside. And sometimes they even have police on the inside that we don't even know about that are unclothed police officers. So we appreciate the work that they do. And then we also have security as well to make sure that when we have these funerals, that we take care of everyone there. Because the bottom line is, as a church, I just feel like we're responsible to minister to people. And so I take the stance, I don't care if they're in a gang or what is in a gang or if they, whatever they did, our goal is to minister to their family to make life better for the community and to make life better for them as well.
So you're dealing with that stuff, Corey. Is that one of the reasons that COVID-19 is more endemic in the black community than in other populations? If you're worried about bullets, maybe an invisible germ doesn't seem to be so dangerous.
Yeah, I think the fact that a lot of times people feel like they're invincible, I think the fact that, you know, we got underlying health issues in our community, there's a lot of different factors. You know, we don't have COVID testing as frequent as other people and other communities. We don't have the medical facilities like other people. So there's reasons. There's a lot of different reasons why African Americans are experiencing a rash of COVID-19 uprise or uptick more so than other communities. And that's in and of itself a whole nother fight and a whole nother argument.
Well, are you bringing people into your church?
Yeah, we try to abide by the restrictions that have been set by the city and the state. We don't have any more than 50. So when we have a funeral, the first hour we have that people can just come in casually, social distancing, and view the body and share with the family, but they have to keep moving. Then the next hour when the funeral starts, it's only 50 people allowed in the funeral. So we set the chairs up in our sanctuary for 50 people, and we minister to those 50 people who are mostly all family members. And it's a very tough thing because, you know, you have people who want to be there, people who want to pay their last respects, and unfortunately they can't do that for their friend because of the law.
I'm praying for your mom and your family and all of us, but stay well, Corey, and if I can do something for you down the road, you let me know, okay?
John, I appreciate it, and thanks for looking out for us and being concerned about what's going on the south side and west side of Chicago.
You know the number, so just call any time, Corey.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Corey Brooks, Project Hood, and a lot of hashtags next to that guy's name. He's a good follow, Rooftop Corey, the guy that was on the roof of his rec center, community center, until he got enough money to build it out and make a better center. He lived up there for a better part of a year.